Hello and welcome to the Chicane Podcast, where we discuss all things in the sim racing world. I'm your host, Jason Rivera, and I'm joined here again by Mr. Eric Kelly. How are you doing today, Eric?
Doing good, man. Off work. Sun's shining. I can't complain.
Sun is shining, man. Yeah, man, it's actually pretty good weather here. I did some things around the house and preparing for some family to come over. What's going on over there?
Same old, man. I got the girls full of activities this week between that and stuff I got going on. Planning a golf tournament, planning a whiskey run. We're busy over here, man.
Nice, man. Nice. I wish I had a golf tournament like that around here. I mean, there's a lot of golf, but it'd be nice to play with friends, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. If you're up here, man, that's the only time I get to play is in the tournament, basically.
Nice, bro. You got to let me know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
So today we're going to cover a few topics. And if we have time, we'll cover an additional topic. But we had some news recent. There's been a Ford Mustang GT3 released today on ACC free content. I'm talking about the PC version. We're going to be comparing the Nordschleifer on console versus PC. We're talking ACC again, same topic.
Yep.
We're also going to cover F124's new suspension and tire model. And also, we're going to give you guys some advice on building your first simulator on a budget.
Yeah.
So, Eric, I'm going to ask you to open up with Nordschleifer. You said you were going to go on track and get some laps in and get some data. And just I just want to know how you feel. How's it feeling over there?
So I'll say this first and foremost. There's a reason why it's called the Monster. That track is, especially on a 15 newton meter wheel, I was sweating after driving that track, man. It's a monster. So I drove it on ACC on PS5. We recently got it last week. And I drove it on GT7 on PS5 as well. The biggest difference was the fact that on GT7, I was driving in VR. So it's a little bit different experience. But the key differences, I'll say, with ACC are just the driving mechanics and the sound. Like, it might not seem like it makes that big of a deal, but just the sound, being able to hear more what the car is doing. I can hear the back left tire locking up or losing grip or something like that. It made it so much more of an involved experience. Whereas with Gran Turismo, you kind of have your indicators. In the VR, I get a little bit better sense of speed, but the track, especially with me not being that familiar with it, I was having to rely fully on all my senses at all times to try to figure out, you know, what the best line was, how fast was I really going, you know, trying to put down a decent lap for somebody who's not that familiar with it. But like I say, the visually, both tracks look great. And just the other thing about the ACC track was the suspension, right? It's so much more textured, bumpier. It's just a lot more. You feel like you're on the edge a lot more on ACC.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in Gran Turismo, you definitely noticed that it's a lot smoother. It's not super smooth, but it's just smoother as far as the amount of feedback you're getting. So those were the biggest differences I noticed between them.
So yeah, let me cut in there and let you know that the suspension model on ACC keeps changing. It changes every time they update the game. And usually they take the opportunity to update the game when there's a DLC, you know, released that day or released that week. They usually take that opportunity to encompass changes to the game with the DLC. You know,
yeah.
I got to see with this Mustang too, with this Mustang coming out, I got to see if there was any change, which I'll check that out here in a second after this podcast. But I also want to add, the feeling that you're feeling on the suspension is the elevation. So the elevation changes on the track is what's making your ride feel unstable, because the car is basically in the air or it's slammed on the ground. And it's like there's a turn and it goes left and it slams you down and then it's and then it goes up and then it changes and then your suspension is traveling so much.
Yeah.
So setting the car properly, which let me tell you all right here, I am not an expert when it comes to settings. I rely on paid setups and then I make some adjustments here and there, but there's a lot going on this track and it takes 9 minutes, 8 minutes if you're fast to get just one lap in. That's a lot of track time to get data and to get the suspension to feel just right.
Yeah, especially. And that's if you not spinning out the whole time and having to recover and all right. that. That's if you on track moving the whole time. That's a, those are decent lap times. It might take you 10, 12 minutes to get around if you run off track and all that stuff too. So, yeah, it's a dedication for sure.
Definitely, man. And the other thing we're not thinking is when we test these cars and you go one lap, two lap, there's no cars on track. The track conditions are perfect. They're optimized. There's no damage unless you crash. There's no tire wear because to get those tires to wear fast enough, you have to be on track for a while before you start to notice the wear on the tires, and then that changes the handling all over again. You know what I mean? So it's a beast.
Yeah.
They call it the beast.
Yeah. And you hit it on the head with the elevation changes, because that was one of the things where you always see, especially in VR on GT7, I can see, okay, I'm going up a hill and I got a brake, and there's a difference between going up a hill and breaking into a turn and coming over a little crest, and the nose of the car is already forward. Front tires are loaded up. I got to pay attention to that. But then in the Nordschleifer, they're banked turns. So you dip down and then your cars turn and then you come out, level out. And so it's a lot of, like you said, it's a lot of suspension work in there. And
it's a lot of traveling. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that, I think that's what kind of made the sounds even more important in ACC was being able to hear all that stuff too. The tires slapping and you can hear the texture. You hear you're not going over perfectly smooth ground. Right. So
yeah, you also feel it as well. You know, you feel it in the in the wheel. Yeah. So my wheel is dynamic, and well, all DDs are dynamic. So when there's a change, when your front tire is on the ground, you definitely feel when they're on the ground. You feel the wheel tighten. Then it gets real loose when the suspension is fully uncompressed to when it's compressed. Add that with the tires, the brakes, the temperature. It's a lot. It's a lot going on that track, man. It's a lot. Yeah. And it's beautiful. I love the graphics on that track. Our artwork is designed as part of the Nordschleifer. I don't know if you noticed the background. All the tatted, the markings on the road, that's the Nordschleifer track. Or one of the corners.
Yeah. That's a beautiful track.
It is. It is indeed. So comparing that to the console on the, you know, from PC to console, on the PC side of things, there's a little more fidelity because the wheel has access to more data. DD wheels on ACC have a 400 megahertz, I believe it's 400 megahertz of fidelity feedback. You know, I'm not sure what the number is on console. I'm pretty sure it's locked to 60. iRacing, which is considered one of the most realistic driving simulators ever, is only capped at 360 megahertz. I think Eric is fact checking me right now. So differences are massive. They're massive based on the hardware that you're using to get these experiences, right? It's not, if you're just connecting a G29 to a console and then you move with that same G29 to a PC, it's going to feel identical because the wheel just can't translate that data. It's just going to basically compress it down to whatever, you know, whatever feedback that wheel can handle at the time. So anyway, yeah, the Nordschleife, they have a 24-hour race. Actually part of a sim racing group and league called LFM, Low Fuel Motorsport. You need a license to get into Low Fuel Motorsport. And in addition, if you want to race the Nordschleife, you need another license just to race on this track. That should tell you.
Yeah, that's serious.
You got to do 3 consecutive laps at a certain time, which I will get that time here in a second. And they must be clean laps. And I believe it was 8 minutes and 30 seconds. I got to find out the actual hard the hard times, but 8:30s. Yeah. 8:37, I believe, is the time, Eric.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that time no time soon. No time soon.
No, I mean, you'll get there. You just have to drive it more. And it's choose your weapon on that track. So I usually, I'm a McLaren 720S guy. I don't run that car on this track because it just doesn't handle well. So I use the Ferrari 296. So that's a hot tip for you. Try out the 296.
Okay.
Or the Bentley, I believe. I think one of the Bentleys, or the other option that people like to use is the Aston Martin GT3. Those are the 3 cars. Those are the 3 top cars that are recording record lap times at the moment with the current meta setups that are available today. Yeah.
So no Porsche in there, huh? That's interesting.
So the Porsche, man, it's just the torque on the Porsche. It's just
a death trap.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I feel you.
It's ridiculous. It's a beautiful sounding car, though, the Porsche.
Yeah, yeah. But if you can, the Ferrari, though, because on GT7, the 458 Italia, that thing is a rocket ship.
Oh, yeah. So the good thing about Ferraris, most of them, is that they corner better. And that's what you want. You want a car that can corner better and take corners at higher speed. The McLaren is a heavier vehicle. It turns heavy, but it's stable. It's a very smooth ride. That's why I like the McLaren. Okay. And it's not the fastest in the straights. Same with the Ferrari. You know, the fastest straight line car is the Porsche.
Makes sense.
Until you get to a corner.
Yeah.
Or a chicane.
Which is crazy, because that's what they kind of, you know, the 911 is, that's kind of their heritage is, you know, not necessarily being the fastest in a straight line, but handling and all of that. But that's interesting.
Well, and GT3 is a different story, man. I mean, in the GT2 series, which I really don't race on the GT2, but in the GT2 series, the Porsche is king. This is the way it is. It's weird.
Yeah.
That's all about we're going to cover today on the Nordschleife track. And as things change, as things move on, we'll update you all on those things. And we're about to jump into the next segment, which is the new F121 game that's releasing at the end of May.
Yeah.
And we have a supposedly new suspension and a supposedly new tire model. So, Eric, if you can open that up for us here and let us know what the changes are.
Yeah, so apparently, supposedly, the new suspension model is going to allow you to have a new kinematic system. It says it's supposed to improve the sensation of weight distribution and center of gravity for a more realistic experience. They also changed some of the spring and damper forces. Supposedly, that's going to give you better load in all the corners. So it's supposed to provide overall a bigger variety of flexibility in your car setups and kind of let you prioritize your suspension based on the track and your driving style versus having like certain cars that are just better or certain setups that are better regardless of driver or track. So that's kind of the high level takeaway from the F124 changes.
Right. And to be honest with you, and everyone here listening, take these changes with a grain of salt. because this game, and I'm going to throw them out there. This game is an EA game. Yes, and if you know anything about EA, it's all a marketing fiasco until the game comes out. And then you realize that the game is not that good. Or they're talking about suspension and a new tire model. That might equate to the car slightly moving in a different direction. Or maybe they'll have a gimmick here and there where you can turn a switch on to make the cockpit shake, but you're not really feeling this in the wheel, are you? You know what I mean? So take this with a grain of salt. I support the F1 community. I'm a big F1 fan. And it hurts because they are the only, EA owns the license to F1. So no one else can make these types of games, right? You can't have a Formula One car with my favorite driver, Alonso, and you can't drive on any other simulator. Well, this is technically not a simulator. It's a simcade. No offense to anybody, but that's just the facts. You know what I mean? For it to be a full-blown simulator, I need a little more. I need a little more. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Eric? What are your thoughts on these changes, supposed changes, this marketing, you know, promotional thing to get people to buy is what they're doing. They're getting you to buy. So I want to hear your thoughts on this.
So you took the words out of my mouth as I was kind of getting up to speed on it. It sounded just like some of the stuff they said for Madden and just some of the other fiascos where they kind of tout all these changes and they're going to improve this and revolutionize that. And it comes out and everybody's like, this is the same game from last year. And so I haven't played I haven't played 23. 22 actually was free for PlayStation owners a couple of months back. So I did download and install that and played around with it. I'm not as into F1. I like watching the show on Netflix and I like watching some of the races, but as far as actually having experience, you know, playing around with the Simcade or anything like that, I don't have much experience there. So as far as what these differences mean to me or my impression of them is very little. But then throwing EA on top of that, I'm like, you got to show me the money. Like somebody needs to drive and post a video, or you need to drive it and tell me, hey man, this is the real deal. Until then, it's just all smoke and mirrors.
Right. So I mean, and like I said in the previous episode, in our first episode, we have a third host here, and he is predominantly F1. He's an F1 fanatic, so he can give us a little more data on these games. We just wanted to cover, you know, stuff that's coming out soon, so that way you're aware. And I'm just giving everyone fair warning that EA will take your money and straight up lie on some things. You know what I mean? Same thing they did with WRC. They promised us triple screen support. The game comes out. There's no triple screen support. There's a stretched out image, if you call that triple screen support. And then here, I'm going to bring this up. And when Jeff, which is our third guest, when he hears this, he's going to crack up. There's no mouse support. And hear me loud and clear, there's no mouse support for F1 games. You have to use a keyboard. And a lot of us that have simulators are trying not to use our keyboards. Like, I got rid of my keyboard. It's on the side of my rig. I don't even have a keyboard tray because, you know, it's a dedicated simulator. It's a driving simulator. Yeah, there's no mouse support. Install it right now.
How do you do that? You're removing functionality at that point.
No, so they expect you. It's because the game's technically not made for PC. It was made for console. And they want to assume that you have a controller. And the UI is built around a controller. Like, there's no mouse pointer. It doesn't work. And it's annoying. There's a lot of annoyances on F1, which we can go into more detail when Jeff comes around, because it sucks, man, because I'll tell you why it sucks. It sucks because we're fans and we want something proper. and we have to rely on mods or a game that can simulate or make kind of like make believe that you're on an F1 track, but they have the license, the music, the graphics, the pictures, the career mode, and we're kind of stuck with whatever they give us. And people keep buying the stuff. So, I mean, if you keep buying this game, it's nothing's ever going to change. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because sales happen, you know, and sales, and I'm guilty of it myself. I want to support. I don't want the game to just not be made, is what I'm trying to say. I don't want them to say, you know what? F1's not selling. We're going to cut it off. Look what happened to FIFA. They stopped making FIFA games. There's no more FIFA games.
Yeah.
Because the sales were tanking.
Yeah, and I hate that. Specifically with EA. Whenever they get a property or they get rights to something, I understand there's no competition, but at a certain point, you got to have some sort of dignity. Because the first thing that comes to mind for me is Madden. And that's a game where people complain year after year, same animation, same problems. I mean, they're just printing money with Madden.
And they still buy them. And they continue to buy them. And that those very same folks that complain the most is the first dude that goes out and hits the buy button.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Like you said, it's sad because you have people that love that game. They love football. That's the only show in town. You can't play football unless you're playing Madden.
Right.
And so it's like you have to choose between something you love or trying to take a stand. And like you said, the downside of taking a stand is they could say, oh, this is not selling. Well, we're just going to scrap it.
Right.
Do something else because it's just business for them. So
it is straight business. And then it puts you in a bind because it's like, well, we don't have a choice. So do you want to play some football or do you not want to play some football?
Exactly.
And that's how they control basically the market, you know, the video game market in that aspect of the sports side. And we're seeing that with the WRC games. The WRC games was just purchased by EA. They just got, this is their first title, and it's actually pretty good. You know, you guys check out EA WRC. It's actually really good. But still, now we're on a yearly base. We're going to be on a yearly cycle for WRC games. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be incremental changes every single year. It's not going to, they're not going to fix the problems. They just added VR support, but there's no PSVR support there, Eric. Sorry to tell you. Not yet.
That's cool.
So, okay. So that covers our F1 section for today. Now we're going to go on to the goodies here.
Yeah.
So Eric and I are going to discuss how to build a simulator on a budget. And we're going to do it. I'm going to cover my end on the PC side. And I'll let Eric cover the console side of things. So Eric, do you want to start this off or should I take this?
Well, I mean, I think my side will be maybe a little simpler because you know, if you're on a budget, options are definitely limited. So as far as wheel goes, obviously you're kind of slave to your platform. If you're on PC, then you can kind of choose whatever you want. If you're on console, it gets real specific real quick. If you're on PlayStation, it gets specific and it gets expensive.
Right.
So let's talk numbers too.
Let's talk numbers, Eric.
Yeah.
How much you need? How much do I need? I'm a new guy.
So just you're walked a new in guy, the door.
Yeah.
You got a PS5, you got a controller, and you're like, hey, I want to start taking this a little bit more seriously. You're gonna need It depends on how you want to go. If you want to go kind of use secondhand, which is what I did, you're going to need probably at least $200, which is easy to get into. Get you a Logitech G29, clamp it to your desk or something like that. Get you a chair. You got your pedals. And you can start just controlling the car with a steering wheel, which is basically the lowest level of, you know, racing you can do and call it simulation in a sense. A G29 new, if you want to go that route, you can buy one at Best Buy right now. They're $299 on the shelf. I just saw them in there the other day. Then once you get into trying to have some sort of rig or some sort of dedicated setup, they have different little platforms you can buy. They have some that are called just a racing stand, and it's essentially like a heavy wheel stand. So you clamp your wheel to it, put your pedals on it, and they'll usually have little hooks. So if you have like an office chair or just a regular folding chair, you can put the front feet in it and get some sort of stability. That way you can kind of push on the brakes a little bit harder and not be sliding all over the place. Those wheel stands by themselves usually cost another $200 or so. So it depends on if you got other limitations like space or, you know, how permanent of a setup you can have. That's something you can look into. The next level would be what they have, like the little folding style setups, where if you need something that you got a little bit more space, but it can't be permanently set up, those are going to run you around $400 to $500. And there are some pretty nice looking ones out there. And then the next level, you have the kind of, it's that same style, the beach chair style setup, but it's not designed to fold up. Those are going to run you high fives, low sixes, and they got a couple of different cosmetic options there as well. And also, when you get to the more fixed setups like that, you can look into getting the DD, which for PlayStation, I think you're probably looking at around 600. Going the Fanatec route, which is a whole nother conversation.
So that right there, Fanatec gear is not beginner budget nothing, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's entry. I think for...
That's entry level, mid-tier, I would say.
Yeah.
Entry to mid.
Yeah, it's pricing-wise, I'd say that. If you're getting the lowest level DD kit for Fanatec, you're looking at 5 Newton meters.
Right.
Which I think just getting into the DD space, that's probably the cheapest you're going to be able to do it, especially on the PlayStation side. I know Moza has like their R5 bundle, which has been crazy cheap. I think it's been like $450 or something like that. Comes with the wheel, motor.
I think that would be the better route for someone that wants to save some money.
Yeah, but then they don't have PlayStation compatibility. You got to throw some sort of... Yeah,
that's right, because we're talking console. We're talking console. That's why you're my console guru, man. Yeah. So go have at it, bro. That is correct.
I've been in the console trenches, fighting the good fight, trying not to buy no PC and triple screen monitors, but it's tugging at me every day. Every day I wake up, I see a message or a video on YouTube or something like that. I'm like,
can't do it.
Yeah.
I hate that, man. I hate that so much. It's like they trap you. It's like you have to buy this or that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say that, like, I will praise Sim Magic until the cows come home.
So you're recommending Sim Magic is what we're doing.
If you are, you know, this is definitely not entry level anymore. But as far as progression and future proofing and getting to a point where you get enough information from the wheel that's no longer going to hold you back. Now it's just me. I'm the problem now. My rig is the problem now. You can't see it. I went the super budget route. I got some 2x4s and some plans off of YouTube and built my rig. Bought a
and
seat
that's
off
okay.
Of,
and yeah, that's totally know, okay.
Yeah, and I bought a seat off of Craigslist. No, Facebook Marketplace.
Right. $20, and, you said last episode.
Yep. Honda Civic seat. So.
That you killed know, there, me, man.
there are different ways to skin that cat, depending on what you got going, man. But it's just, at the end of the day, it's the love of the, you know, love of the craft, love of the sport, in a sense, where, you know, whatever works for you.
Right.
You know, I see guys on YouTube, they got, you know, $1,000 rig and a G29 strap to it, and they're loving it. I'm like, hey, you like it, I love it.
That's right.
You know, there's so much flexibility there.
Right. And there's no right way to do it. I mean, if something works for you, it works for you.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody say, oh, your setup is not recommended because you don't have this. No.
Exactly.
If it works for you, listen, if a rubber band e-brake can help you drift and you can drift a lot harder than me, then I'm doing something wrong. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's like you said last time, money doesn't equal speed. Money doesn't equal better track times.
Right.
Know? So it's with a grain of salt, depends on what you're looking to get.
Exactly.
You can make, you know, you definitely have to understand what you're buying or what you're doing so you can set expectations. But as long as you understand what you're getting, like for me, I understood when I built this wooden rig and bought a seat off of a Facebook Marketplace for $20. I knew what I was getting.
Exactly.
I also know
expectation that, management is what that's called.
Yeah. Yeah. I also know until recently I might race for an hour a week. So for me, the investment I put into that, it was more of just a arts and craft project.
That's a smart way to do it too.
You know, so
that's an adult way to really gauge something like that. You know, that's a good point. You know, you have to gauge how much time are you putting into this hobby? Are you gonna improve on track, or are you just going to race a few times, you know, a few times a month, I'd say? Because it doesn't take long to improve. It really doesn't. If you stick to one vehicle, one simulator, and just pick a track. Just pick one track. If you can master that car on that track in that simulator, you can drive any car. You can drive that car on any of the other tracks, as long as you apply the same principle, you know, the same principle and the same guidelines. So I'm going to break down the PC side, the master race, the GOAT, you know, the Count of Monte Cristo is what we're going to say here, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So we ready? You ready?
We ready.
So when Eric explained about building a budget, he kind of left something out, and I'll tell you what that is.
What you got?
He left out how much a PlayStation costs, how much a TV costs. So we're going to keep those out of it.
Yeah. We're going to assume you got your...
I'm not going to knock you on the head for that.
Yeah.
But we're assuming that you have the platform, that you're on the platform.
Yeah.
So we can add that later, but you can also add that up, right, to see where your budget is. But I'm going to give you both, and I'm going to do it briefly. So on a PC side, you need a PC. You need a monitor. You don't need three monitors. You don't need four. You don't need a VR headset. This is all options for you. So as Eric said, that he's watching YouTube videos and promotions, and then he's like, oh, wait a minute, I'm on a PlayStation. If I connect this thing, it doesn't know what it is. So on a PC, you have a plethora of options. So to make this one a little short, I would say for a PC, you're looking at least $1,000 to get a decent PC, but you want to buy something that you can grow with. You want to buy something that you can upgrade and expand later. You don't want to be trapped in. So try to get a motherboard that is either the previous gen or the latest gen. I know we're on the AM5 motherboard for AMD currently. And I recommend AMD and AMD CPUs and NVIDIA graphics cards. Those are my recommendations. For ecosystems, SimMagic, I tell you, SimMagic is probably the best option for someone on a budget because it's equipment that you can grow with, right?
Yeah.
So SimMagic wheels come with a quick release. Their entire lineup has the same quick release. Their entire lineup has the same attachments, if you may. So I think the SimMagic Mini with a wheel, you're looking at about $600 to $700, depending on sales. Wait for Black Friday. Wait for the Christmas, you know, the Mother's Day that's coming up. So they might drop a sale in there or whatever. So I would say to have some cushion, you're going to need a rig too, man. So, yeah, and it's expensive. So you want something that you can grow with, right? I don't want to recommend on this podcast that you go out and buy a beach chair, because no one's going to buy that. Good luck selling this beach chair. Good luck selling it. You know what I mean? So your most important piece, the most important piece of your rig is the platform that it's on. Because if you have a platform that's built like a tank, then you can add stuff and not worry about these types of things later down the road. Yeah. So a decent rig without a seat, you might want to source out a seat somewhere. The seat can be whatever seat. You can, yeah. We can use Eric's advice there to get a seat. You can go to junkyard. You can go to junkyard and get a seat from a Honda or something. But yep. for your platform, I recommend either a Track Racer or a SimLab. And they range from $300 to $400, their cheapest ones. But their cheapest ones are actually pretty damn solid. You know, they're solid rigs. They're built to withstand the high forces of a, you know, direct drive or anything you're putting on it. So with that said, my recommendation for a budget from starting from zero, no PC, no wheel, no pedals. I didn't mention pedals. So your pedals, SimMagic pedals. Get the same ones that Mr. Eric Kelly got, I would recommend.
P1000s.
How much those run you again?
So they were normally like $469 or something like that, but I got a discount. It was like $20 or $30. I can't remember if it was because I bundled it with the wheel and base or whatever, but for the upgrade ability, when he talks about something that where you're not locked in, I mean, these pedals, they feel like they belong in a car. Like the build quality, the fit and finish on them is great, but then the expandability. I can put motors on the back of each pedal. I can add a third pedal if I want to.
You can grow with them.
As serious as you want to take it, they can do it.
So that's exactly what I'm trying to say. And the setup that I'm saying that I told you guys that I recommend as a budget, it may not seem like a budget, but you got to think. If you buy the cheapest hardware and you build the PC using the cheapest hardware, you're throwing away money. And that's what I'm trying to stop you from doing. It may not seem like this is a budget setup, but it is. And with that said,
from experience.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. So we're cutting it close here on the time, Eric.
I'm
so excited. It's fun to get on here and talk to you guys about this stuff. And again, we have this podcast is everywhere now. We have our fan mail set up so you could send us a message. It's right there in the description. Just click if you guys want to send us a message. It'll be sent directly to us and we can address that. No problem. Yeah. With that said, Eric, do you have anything else for us?
Nah, man, just trying to get back here and do some laps, man.
I know I need to get back. So this episode will go live right on next week. But I'm about to get on the ACC and try out this Mustang, man, to see. Yeah, so if you want to laugh, go back into the past. Check out my Twitch and watch me wreck this thing because I don't know what's gonna happen when I get in this car, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna be watching.
All right, man. So, hey, I just want to thank everybody for hitting play on the show. And Eric, thank you so much for being here. Pretty soon we'll have our third guest and we'll have more to cover and more to follow.
Yeah, man, it's fun.
And with that, you guys take care and have a great day.